Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen in Florida. Cleanup underway after Hurricane Milton first made landfall Wednesday night. Storm being blamed for at least 16 deaths, spawned 20 tornadoes, more than 2 million residents still without power. CBS News' Christian Benitez in St. Petersburg.
Yamile Barrio gave us a peek inside of her Tampa apartment from the window, her furniture now partially underwater, but she says she's lucky to be alive.
Thank God nothing happened to us. There's more people that's worse than us.
Yamile and her neighbors say the flooding in her neighborhood began after Milton had already passed through. Christian Benavides, CBS News, St. Petersburg,
Florida. One good thing is... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Florida theme parks, Disney World, Universal, and SeaWorld all plan to reopen today.
Wow. It's amazing, you know.
So they must have got through the storms pretty well.
Yeah, that's actually a surprise to me. And we're also going to check in Orlando. You said CBS correspondent Peter King lives in that area, right?
He's in Orlando, yeah.
And in this next half hour, we're going to go live to the Bradenton, Sarasota area. They were at the, where...
That's ground zero.
Yeah, ground zero, where the eye came overhead. And obviously, that's where the Pirates spring training. So we have a sister city relationship there. We will get an update in this half hour. Also, check in with our meteorologist, Joe Lundberg, about any storms on the horizon, too. Hurricane season is not over. And the massive cleanup and recovery will continue. Yesterday, Barack Obama visited the University of Pittsburgh, stumping for Vice President Kamala Harris. Politics aside, though, at least at first, he tried to ingratiate himself with Pittsburgh.
It is good to be back in Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. I love the people of Pittsburgh. I love the food in Pittsburgh. I don't usually do this, but this is a little bit of a Yelp rating. Just had some of Pamela's pancakes. I first had those 15 years ago when I was running, and I was all like, I need some of those pancakes this time out. Even though I'm from Chicago, some of you may know, when I was a kid, I was a Steelers fan.
So, I mean,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Pamela's. Now, he's made us hungry, so...
Pamela's thing, I'll never forget that.
Usually, they said, usually they throw a Permanis reference in there, but I guess he did the Pamela's pancakes thing.
Got a thing for flapjacks.
I'll tell you what, can we DoorDash those in? Just him mentioning those makes me hungry. I haven't had one for a while. Anyway, so Pamela's got some love... He spoke for about 45 minutes at the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse on the campus of the University of Pittsburgh.
And they brought all the big guns from the Democratic Party in.
Right. They had
Bob Casey and the mayor, and right?
Yes, they did. And he did a surprise visit at one of the campaign offices. And so they continue to come. That said, J.D. Vance will be in Johnstown tomorrow. Kamala Harris in Erie on Monday. And the candidates... continue to, go around the state and come into southwestern Pennsylvania, too.
So, guess who took some reps with the first guys, the starting offense?
Speaking of the Steelers.
Uh-huh, Russell Wilson.
In Vegas this weekend, the Raiders in their brand-new home and stadium. 4:05 is kickoff on Sunday afternoon. And, yes, will Russell Wilson finally get a start?
Well, that's the question he was asked. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I think that we all want to play. We all want to be out there. And this is year 13 for me. And, I've never been in this place that I'm in, as well. And it's tough. But also at the same time, there's better days ahead. And you also know that there's challenges along the way. I think with George in particular, I try to, relay to him that, number one is that, we love him, and we love who he is. We love the player that he is. We love the competitor that he is. And that's the thing that you have to understand is George a bad teammate? Absolutely not.
Well, so he was speaking about George Pickens there at the end, but the first remarks were about, I'd like to be in there.
Well, sure he would. I mean, the guy's a Super Bowl champion. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. He is a real talent. And that said, Justin Fields, I thought, has done a pretty good job We didn't lose the game against Dallas because of his play.
I agree. I think that that Justin's been just fine. Sooner or later, we have to find out what Russell can bring to the table.
Right.
I mean, sooner or later.
Let's take a shot. You know, if the Steelers can win the next two games, they're certainly winnable games. The Raiders are having their issues at quarterback. The Jets just fired their coach. They're in town next Sunday. This is a chance to string a couple of wins together again and to be 5-2. And let's see what they can do on Sunday. But the big question is still, will we see Russell Wilson? Some of our local experts don't think so yet. Others say he will. So they didn't definitively say that, but naturally he wants to play.
You know, last year we had an example of what could possibly happen in mid-game, a quarterback change.
It'll be fun to see when he does play, if he still got the juice. He's certainly done everything right. He and his wife, they, you know, have been gracious. They visit kids at Children's Hospital. A lot of that's off the radar. He's been nothing but a class act here. And I hope that he is physically capable of playing the way we know Russell Wilson can play and help this team win. Just a quick side note. The Panthers host California tomorrow at 3:30 at Acrisure. This is a chance for them, A, to become bowl eligible and win their sixth game in a row to start the season, which they haven't done in decades. So it should be a fun day, and the weather looks like it'll cooperate. So if you want to go, you tell me if you want to go.
I'm not able to go this time.
Oh,
I checked into it. I can't go.
I tried to get Erin to go. She's going to a wedding.
It's going to be cloudy and 70 on Saturday. That's not bad.
It's actually nice. That's comfortable for fans.
Right.
All right. Here we go. And that's what people are talking about. Big weekend. You know, this is a three-day weekend for many. Columbus Day recognized on Monday, and we love a parade in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's Little Italy is Bloomfield, as many of you know. And joining me, Tony Ferraro, who heads up the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame here. I've known him for 30-plus years, and big parade tomorrow. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, so I apologize in advance.
That's all right. We appreciate you being on to give us the details. So you know Pittsburgh loves a parade. What's the game plan tomorrow?
Well, we're going to kick off march off tomorrow at 11 o'clock, but all the activity starts at 9:30 when we try and organize the parade. You can imagine what that goes like.
That's like a reality show.
herding cats, I call it.
Yeah. But, all right. Where does it begin, and where should people line up?
I would recommend we start at South Millville Street, but anywhere along from South Millville down to the former church on the left hand side as you're coming down the road. I think it's owned by Arch Masonry now, but that's where we're going to have the reviewing stand, and we have our MCs Paul Martino and Rick DiCarlo.
Paul Martino.
Oh, yeah. Give me one more appetizer.
Did you say Rich DiCarlo is also in on this?
Oh, Rick DiCarlo. He's on the street.
Ricky
he's
D.
Been doing this. Ricky D. Yeah, he adds a lot of color to it, and a lot of people enjoy the conversations. But the grandstand will be right there, and we welcome people to line the streets. We've asked some businesses to open a little early. So you can get a cappuccino. There's a beautiful coffee shop right across the street from it. Right in front of Tessero's is a good spot as well. But this is our 36th annual, and we're proud to say our Grand Marshal this year is Michael Fasciano. And Michael's he's not new to the parade. He's been involved for every year. This is our 36th annual, and he and his family have been involved every year. Owns a big construction company, and is very active in the Italian-American community.
All right, so 11 o'clock in Bloomfield. If you haven't been, Bloomfield's great little part of our community, and the parade will be underway. How long does it usually last, Tony?
About an hour and 20 minutes. We'd like to keep it under 2 hours so we don't have to pay overtime to the city. And by the way, The city has been very, very helpful. You know, we have the police, the paramedics, the fire. We really had a lot of good experience working with the city of police. But one more thing I wanted to say, Larry, we have a great band coming in from East Fairmont, West Virginia. They're traveling. It's called the Honeybee Band, and they're really, really exceptional, along with a lot of other people that are going to be in the parade, a lot of organizations, a lot of small musical entrees, as well as Pete the Huckster will be there. He never misses. So come on out. Have a good time. The weather looks great.
All right. East Fairmont High School Busy Bee and Honeybee Band has been to the Tournament of Roses Parade in California and presidential inaugurations. Apparently, they're a big deal.
Impressive.
Yeah. All right, Tony. And for those that don't know, Pittsburgh has the fifth largest Italian-American organization here.
So Saturday's the day to immerse yourself in Italian culture.
And food. Let's not, and then later wine, but we'll get into that. All right, Tony, hope you feel better. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
There he goes, Tony Ferraro and Paul Martino.
And Ricky D.
Wow. I love when Marty says, he does his Paul Martino imitation.
Oh, it's hysterical.
KDK-TV former anchor man when he says, will they be serving hors d'oeuvres there? From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA Traffic. Welcome to the weekend. This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard, along with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen. And after watching throughout the course of the day the aftermath of Hurricane Milton, wanted to take you back to where they were at ground zero, where Milton made landfall Wednesday night, just in the half hour after the 8 p.m., which was sooner than expected. And the eye actually went over the Sarasota-Bradenton area. Executive Director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau has become a good friend of ours. Elliot Falcioni is there, hunkered down in his home overnight, and went out to do a survey of the damage yesterday. Elliot, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you, sir?
We're fine, man. We're all thinking of you guys and everybody we've seen affected by this storm. So give us the rundown there. One of the things we saw was one of the Pirates training facilities had some damage and other things there. Give us the update.
Yes, sir. I was woke up early this morning and I thought Tropical Storm Debby, you know, affected East County homes, 10 inches of water in a lot of homes. And then we went to Helene, where we had just a lot of storm surge and sand. And now, of course, Milton. The blessing is no storm surge on Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key, even going right down the throat of the Manatee River. So that was a blessing. Where you're going to see the most destruction, and keep in mind, as of last night, 80% of Manatee County still did not have power restored. And the island was not restored either. So we're hoping that gets turned on today on Anna Maria Island, because you cannot get any contractors, emergency type of vehicles out there as well. But mainly the damage is a lot of mobile home parks. If you had a white PVC fence, it's gone. It's on the ground. A lot of the older homes, cottages, collapsed. But I think, I tell you what, overall, no loss of life. We are in recovery mode. It is surreal to see people's furniture out on the streets when we had Debby come through, and then going to sand piles that still exist on the island, and now just a ton of oak tree and pine tree debris. Just a crazy 6 months.
Elliot, what about the barrier islands? Did you get out to the islands at all? Or?
No, you know, I could have, but, one more person would have been too much. But, I did get reports. We did lose the rod and reel pier. For Pittsburghers that have come to Anna Maria Island, it blew away. And it may never come back. You know, once you lose piers like that, the federal government normally doesn't allow you to replace them. The city pier on Anna Maria, that was one of our landing points for the water ferry. The midsection is gone. quite candidly, that surprised me because that pier is no more than 7 years old. But we will rebuild it. The historic Bridge Street, Larry, you've been there as well. That's in pretty good shape, just some of the floating docks are compromised. Paul, a lot of sand, still a lot of debris out there. I will definitely get out there today. And I tell you what, thank God we didn't have storm surge, because if we did, you're sitting here 6 months from now trying to get businesses and families back in their homes.
Yeah, number one is how many people will be displaced from their homes that are residents, and then a really important time coming up where economically the region relies on, you know, the snow, birds, and in your case, spring training too, and all that goes with it.
Yes, and as we sit here right now, we have no occupancy in our hotels. Let me correct that. You know, we have no vacancy in our hotels because we are hosting displaced residents, contractors. We have 400 National Guardsmen coming in today with 30 tactical vehicles, and we have a ton of power companies that we're mobilizing right now. So, Larry, I really believe in my heart that within the month, maybe in a few weeks, the mainland of the Bradenton area will be open for business. The hotels were not compromised, and I believe probably in about a month we'll have a small percentage of short-term rentals on the islands and a small percentage of restaurants on the islands open for business. And it's our job as the Tourism Bureau to really keep our target market up to speed with where we're at, being very accurate, very honest. So they come down here and they can enjoy what they enjoy best. And hopefully the beaches are still in pretty good shape. Without the storm surge, we should have some nice beaches for people to enjoy in about a month or so.
One other quick question, Elliot, about the tornadoes. I saw a map of where they touched down this morning, and it seemed like they were mostly to the east and south of the Sarasota-Bradenton area. Was there a tornado touchdown or anything like that in your area?
No, sir, not at all. And I think because we were right in the eye of the storm, mentioned to Larry yesterday, it was the most surreal thing. It was so calm. The air did not move for 45 minutes. South Sarasota into Lee County, even parts of Collier County, we had 38 touchdown tornadoes in the state of Florida from that storm. And as you all know, that 3 to 6 o'clock, the dirty side of the storm is really what causes those tornadoes to touch down. But we were blessed. My tornado alarm did not go on at all, during the storm.
Elliot, we appreciate the update. I'm glad no loss of life in your region, and certainly you're safe. And anything we can do to help support the effort, we will do and appreciate it. And now, if you don't mind, we'll check in maybe the beginning of the week after you've had a chance to really absorb the the beaches and every other area around there.
Yeah, 100%, Larry. Update on the Sarasota-Bradenton Airport. The airside terminal did peel back the roof a little bit. It was supposed to be open today. It's going to be open tomorrow morning. So for Pittsburghers that have second homes or live down here, you'll be able to fly into Sarasota-Bradenton Airport as early as tomorrow.
Oh, great update. All right, Elliot, stay safe.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend. Appreciate your support.
Elliot Falcione, Executive Director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau.
And I want to mention real briefly, Larry, about that map that I saw of little red dots where tornadoes were reported
right
in Florida. The cluster that was over the West Palm Beach region, that's where they were hit hardest.
Right.
It looked like more than a dozen right there.
That's unheard of in Florida.
Probably from like up to Jupiter all the way down to, say, I don't know, Hollywood?
I actually lived in West Palm Beach when I graduated high school, worked in radio there for a year and a half, and tornadoes were rare.
Unheard of, yeah.
Yeah, and to have a 37 of them confirmed, that's incredible. So we'll continue to keep you updated on the Big K Morning Show, and we want to check traffic. Then we'll go to Joe Lundberg, get an idea of if there's any additional storms behind this, because remember 2 weeks ago when we heard of Helene, they had already known that the radio KDKA, it's as cold and Let's see, it has been since April 26th, last time we've been at this temperature. 36 here. It's freeze warnings outside of Allegheny County, east and south. And
the way you said that, it almost sounded to me like it was, you were happy.
No, I'm not happy.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it might kill some ticks. Good morning. I'm Larry Richard, along with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Anytime we see the damage that we've seen, and unfortunately in the last 2 weeks between Hurricane Helene and Milton, we've seen plenty of it. A lot of people in this area ask, well, what can I do? How can I help? And I love this organization, Hurricane Helene Agricultural Relief. You can add Milton to that now. It's 84 Agway, and the manager is Jamie Donahue. Jamie, appreciate you joining us here on KDK. Thank you.
Not a problem.
So you have a list of things that you know people need in the South. And tell us how this got started and what you're looking for and how can we help?
Absolutely. So this all got started from one of our customers coming in and trying to pull it together. So what we did was we started working with South Hills Movers, and they've donated all of their trucks, and Bob Immel has donated his time to take all these supplies down to North Carolina.
And North Carolina from Helene, especially the western part, was just absolutely devastated. They said a 1-in-1,000-year flooding scenario there. So you're doing that. They're sending trucks every week, right?
Yes, we just had our first truck pull out yesterday, and it pulled in on Tuesday, and we were able to pull it out yesterday.
And what are you asking people to donate?
So they're really in need of any type of grain, forages, fencing supplies, vet supplies. You can also do donations that we use to buy any supplies that haven't been bought yet.
And where is the drop-off location for those items?
The drop-off location is at WNC Regional Livestock Center in North Carolina.
That's where it's headed to, but I mean, where can people bring things if they want to help?
Oh, they can bring them straight to 84 Agway, and then we load them on the truck.
Which is in 84 PA, right?
Yes, correct.
And anytime people can bring these, there's no specific time, right?
Nope, anytime.
Well, we appreciate the work you're doing, and hopefully people will, I know they will respond to do
absolutely.
That.
We've gotten a pretty significant amount of donations, and it's just amazing how the community comes together and helps each other out.
All right, thanks for the time, Jamie, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
So Jamie Donahue, manager of 84 Agway, down in 84 PA, you can reach out to them directly if you have some of those items that you think might be able to help. And getting an update on the area, Nicole Valdez of CBS took a flight over Fort Myers, and that's just south of where Milton made landfall.
From the sky, the damage was clear.
You can see that water forced right through here. Look at this.
The only bridge to Boca Grande was closed, blocking access to the barrier island after it was hit with a 5-foot storm surge. Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino.
And I've heard reports today coming back that Boca Grande got hit very hard with Hurricane Milton.
Homes surrounded by brown water, cars swept away, businesses caked in sand.
I mean, this is evidence of just how powerful of a storm surge we are talking about. Check out this road. It's washed out. That building barely hanging on by a thread. And you'll notice that part of the asphalt here has literally buckled under the pressure of all that water.
Sandbags weren't enough to protect shop.
The water 4 or 5 feet up.
Nearly everyone on this island evacuated. And Sheriff Marcino thinks that saved their lives.
It looks like a nor'easter storm from like up north, but it's sand. I've never seen it or would imagine it would look like this. Businesses closed, waters busted through the windows, trash and debris, boats, furniture. I mean, this just shows you it's pure devastation. If you took a picture, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. This
Now, those who live on some of those barrier islands like Fort Myers Beach and Sanibel are finally being let back on to check on their homes. But others like Boca Grande and Captiva, they're still cut off. Officials say they still need more time to make sure those bridges are safe to drive on. Nicole Valdez, CBS News, Fort Myers, Florida.
And we heard earlier from Elliot Falcioni down in Sarasota. He told us that one of the good things that happened was there was a lack of a storm surge there. But
And keep in mind, 80 as of last night, 80% of Manatee County still did not have power restored. And the island was not restored either. So we're hoping that that gets turned on today on Anna Maria Island, because you cannot get any contractors, emergency type of vehicles out there as well. But mainly the damage is a lot of mobile home parks. If you had a white PVC fence, it's gone. It's on the ground. A lot of the older homes, cottages, collapsed. But I think, I tell you what, overall, no loss of life. We are in recovery mode.
There you go.
Yeah, and the iconic vision is up in St. Pete of that Tampa Bay Ray facility where they play, you know, the Tropicana Field,
yeah.
Because it had been set up, because it's a covered baseball park, as a rescue, you know, emergency rescue location. And then the roof came off. It was supposed to withstand 150 mile an hour winds and has been in place for decades. They're actually planning to build a new park in a couple of years, but they couldn't help anybody after that.
It is impressive what a hurricane can do to a big structure or something that's sturdy. Like Elliot told us earlier about the rod and reel pier is gone. It just vanished.
Yeah. So we'll continue to bring you updates as necessary, and appreciate everybody who's reached out wanting to know how you can help. You can help with the Red Cross, Salvation Army, Brothers Brother Foundation, and a lot of organizations here. We've sent utility workers south, even police officers headed south to help. Mention Friday Night Lights again, Franklin Regional at Peters Township. We got you covered here. News Radio KDKA tonight with the pregame starting at 6. Meanwhile, Pitt and California, 3:30 tomorrow at Acrisure Stadium. They are newcomers to the ACC, all the way from the left coast, and they have not played a Pittsburgh team in Pittsburgh since 1963, Paul.
Been a while.
So it's been a few semesters.
The other team from the West Coast is, Stanford that joined the conference,
Stanford,
too, right?
And then we have SMU down in the Dallas area. In fact, Pitt will travel at the end of the month to Dallas to play SMU on the road. So I'm looking forward to that trip. I haven't been to Dallas since
the Ice Bowl.
Yes, with the Steelers and Packers.
Yeah, right.
Which didn't end well.
The weather was awful, and so was the game.
It was such a strange week because they had these ice storms, and it was Fort Worth and Dallas is where they positioned the two teams, headquarters, and so it was a lot of driving. It was a mess, but looking forward to that. And then Sunday, this was the hot ticket this year. When people looked at the Steelers' schedule for road trips, Las Vegas, Raiders, Steelers, 4:05 Sunday afternoon. And the Steelers, after that disappointing loss, with 20 seconds left on Monday morning, that's when it ended. It was win or lose, fourth down and goal at the 6. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys able to get the win. So it was win or lose on one play. And so losing two in a row now. The big question this week has been, will Russell Wilson start at quarterback?
Well, he took some snaps with the first team offense during practice this week, so there's that. But the speculation is that it'll be Justin Fields that will start the game.
And there seems to be a little controversy about the Steelers wide receiver George Pickens.
Oh, really? Just a little?
Apparently, he wore this, and I saw it, this eye black that they wear, you know, that cuts down the reflection of the lights in this case, or the sun during day games. And he was asked about that because it said...
Something we can't repeat on here.
Yeah, we can't repeat about he's always open, right, as a receiver.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, got mad. He threw his helmet on the sideline. You know, it's just stuff you don't want to see from any of your players.
And then when he's on the field, the most concerning thing was watching him kind of moving at half speed when he was running routes.
So they asked him yesterday. They finally got to talk to him. And it was an uncomfortable conversation. But they asked George Pickens about that eye black.
The eye black message on your eye black, was there any purpose? What was the purpose behind it?
It's just eye black. Yeah.
Did you expect the blowback about the message on the eye black?
Nah.
Have you heard from the league about a fine, or is there anything internal that comes with that?
He didn't answer. Yeah. And then they asked him about throwing his helmet.
Throwing your helmet on the sideline, is that something that you just part of being a competitor, or did you regret that? Do you not want to do that anymore?
Nah, you know, when it's third down and you don't convert, a lot of fans are mad as well.
So, hopefully they can figure this out, because we don't need that. We just don't need that.
Well, you know,
You got a guy like Russell Wilson, who's such a pro, and the rest of the team, and they're all, you know, no one's going to throw him under the bus. And you had that earlier, but they asked him about starting and then about George Pickens.
Yeah.
And,
it what you're saying about they can't have it, the reason that they can't have it is that he's the best wide receiver they have and probably the best weapon in the offense. But when he's behaving like a petulant child,
it doesn't help.
It's just not, you know, so.
So they ask Russell Wilson about playing, and that's the question. Justin Fields has played the first five games, and he won the first three. They've lost the last two. Was it his fault or not? Is Russell Wilson physically ready to play?
I feel confident that I'd be ready to play and play at a high level. You know, I think that's, you know, I think we're being really smart too and trying to understand exactly how I feel. It's my first week, you know, really back out there with you guys, you know, and playing and all that stuff. So I feel really confident about that. And, you know, the ball's spinning, you know, that's a good thing. And I have no doubt, you know, in my mind, once I step between the white lines, I'll be ready to go.
And people that, like our own Jeff Hathorn, that goes to practice all the time, they said he looks really sharp. So we'll see.
I think at some point or another, we're going to have to find out what Russell brings to the table. The Steelers need to find that out. We know what we have with Justin Fields, which is good.
Well, hopefully, I want to see him play, just see how he does.
Right.
Justin Fields hasn't been the reason. He wasn't the reason they lost Sunday.
I agree completely with that.
Here with a special in-studio guest from Made in PGH. The woman behind it is Channing Powell, one of our former teammates, we'll say that. Channing?
That's right. Good morning.
Fresh off our Hometown Heroes event on Tuesday. Thank you and your folks for coming. Always an inspirational night to meet people that are doing such great things in our community.
Absolutely, Larry. I want to congratulate you on such a fantastic, wonderful evening for Hometown Heroes. And, you know, thank you for putting on that kind of event each year. It's so special and thoughtful. And it allows us to celebrate for an evening the good that's going on in our local communities. And I just thank you for highlighting that.
Well,
and
I appreciate that.
Yes.
As you know, a good team effort here, and it's something I look forward to every year. And I've met over the years some amazing people and have remained friends and stay in touch. And one note, one of our Hometown Heroes, Clarence McAllister, who was that individual, a deacon in the church, Jesus's Dwelling Place in North Braddock with Pastor Germany, that I know a lot of people saw the footage of when a gunman came in and he was going to shoot the pastor, the gun jammed, and Clarence jumped into action and really saved the pastor and then held him at bay for 30 minutes till the police could get there. Unfortunately, he had a medical situation in the room, but he's doing well. I talked to him and his wife yesterday. He's very grateful for everyone's thoughts and prayers. So,
oh, great.
Clarence, if you're listening, thank you. And we will get together and we'll finish that meal.
Let's do that, Clarence. We're all rooting for you and so grateful for his bravery that day.
All right. Made in PGH. You've been doing this now how long?
For about 3 years now. They're Made in PGH, I believe, began around 2018-ish. And we have grown it to what it is today. We have almost 60,000 followers. We genuinely enjoy being a resource for the Pittsburgh community to see what's going on in Pittsburgh, see what new businesses are out there or Pittsburgh staples. And we love being that resource to navigate the city and support local businesses.
And I love the fact we also, you know, we're always looking for things to do. This is a great month because there's so much going on. And kind of the bookend of the weekend is Billie Eilish at PPG Paints Arena. She's been a music phenomenon, Grammy Award winner. And that'll cap the weekend. We got the parade tomorrow in Bloomfield for Columbus Day weekend.
Right.
A lot of people have a 3-day weekend.
That's right. Do you?
No.
Larry's never off.
No.
That's
occasionally, but not this Monday. You got Fort Ligonier Day. So what do you have on your radar,
yes,
Ms. Made in PGH?
So we are hosting yet another one of our famous Best Bites events. We love to bring it to different neighborhoods. So we switch it up all the time, and we are bringing it to Lawrenceville next Saturday, the 19th, from noon to 4. And Best Bites is our self-guided foodie tour. So those foodies out there that love food and want to try different restaurants, we have an event that you could do that all in one day from noon to 4. It's self-guided. You receive your map and lanyard, and then you go along, in this case, it'll be right along Butler Street with a curated list of 20 food and drink stops, including restaurants, breweries, bakeries, and we have a couple stops within Lawrence Hall, which is, it opened earlier this year. It's a food hall, so that'll be great. There's Cuddy's Soul Food, Leona's Ice Cream, Toma, Mi Empanada, La Gourmandine, which is an outstanding French bakery, Burgers Brewing, and so many more.
And that's there on Butler Street.
Right.
And if you haven't been to Lawrenceville for a while, it's amazing because it continues to reinvent itself.
It does.
There is one restaurant there that I was introduced to a couple of years ago, Pussity's Garden.
And, it's incredible.
You know, it's along Butler Street, and then it doesn't look like much from the outside, but once you go in, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's this tremendous space, and the food is off the chart.
It is, and it's really hard to get a reservation.
Yeah, it is.
It's really hard, but what an incredible restaurant. And yeah, there's so much in Lawrenceville to discover. Like you said, it keeps reinventing itself, so there's all kind of new restaurants that are emerging. And with this event, you don't need a reservation. You get to just try these different, sample all these different restaurants that maybe you haven't discovered yet. And I believe our tickets are almost sold out. So if you happen to miss tickets to this one, don't worry, because we may be doing our next one downtown. Don't tell anybody. But that's coming up. That's coming up. We're hoping by the end of this year. So we're closing out this year. And stay updated. Visit madeinpgh.com and subscribe to our newsletter on the screen, on the pop-up at the bottom of the screen. And when you subscribe to our newsletter, you're getting nothing annoying, just one weekly newsletter.
You're not going to give us annoying notifications?
Well, I'll do that for you, Larry, because, you know, I just like to annoy you. But but no, you get one email per week, and it's a weekly recap of what's going to happen the upcoming weekend or what you missed the weekend before, and you get to be updated on our next Best Bites event.
Yeah, and there's a lot of events, including their big wine event this weekend at Rivers Casino.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there. They have such great vendors setting up, and it's such a awesome evening of sampling all the different spirits. It's a fun night. My mom and I are going to attend.
Yeah, I always wondered if you go to a wine tasting event and they say, oh, hundreds of wines available, and then you're thinking, okay, I better have a designated driver.
Am I walking out of here or getting wheeled out?
You'll hear me in there saying, out. Welcome to Rivers Casino. Yeah.
That'll bring me back.
You can't escape. All right, Channing. Check out Made in PGH. Channing Powell is the woman behind it. And again, thank you for being a hometown hero visitor. We had a great night Tuesday.
And absolutely.
Always good to see you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Larry. You too.
Rescue mission. It also includes pets. Paul, as you can imagine, we've seen images of abandoned pets in the wake of Hurricanes Helene and now Milton, too. And trying to help our local Humane Society organizations. And we'll tell you what they're doing and how you may be able to help. In the meantime, we have a, this is one of our favorite events of the year. Pet Fest presented by Subaru's back. That'll be October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End from 9:30 to 4. You can bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests for Halloween, and then looking ahead, a photograph with Santa. Isn't that nice? Stop by any Subaru dealer for your complimentary tickets. And get details at kdkradio.com. This story about Boar's Head, that was the first one, Paul, about issues.
What a catastrophe for that brand.
And now, a massive recall of meat and poultry is underway. CBS's Michael Toscano.
A company called Bruce Pack is recalling nearly 10 million pounds of meat and poultry because the ready-to-eat products may be contaminated with Listeria bacteria. The foods were made at the company's plant in Durant, Oklahoma, between June 19 and October 8th and shipped to restaurants and food service vendors. The products include chicken strips, breasts and patties, and beef patties and fajita strips. Eating foods contaminated with Listeria can cause serious illness and death. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
So we'll get some more details on that. Obviously, just a big heads up. When you hear about a recall, make sure you check once you find out the details of what's in your pantry and your refrigerator. This is the Big K Morning Show. Welcome to the weekend. We continue to look at the damage done by Milton and 2 weeks ago, Hurricane Helene. And one of the residual effects are the animals that go with their owners who love them so much and in some cases have been separated. So we found out that humane societies in Pennsylvania, for instance, are waiving adoption fees and seeking donation as they accept animals from the shelters of the storm. And joining us is Sarah Smith. Sarah is with the Humane Society of the Harrisburg area in the central part of our state. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
So what have you heard in terms of people in need of trying to find places for their pets, and how does this work?
Sure. You know, whenever disaster strikes, and, you know, this is something that our organization, along with our affiliate, Brandywine Valley SPCA, a little bit further east, it's something that we help with from when disaster strikes. And there's kind of a trickle-down effect that our local shelters and shelters across the country can help by pulling animals that were already in shelters, that were already adoptable, that were already looking for second homes, out of those shelters in that, you know, impacted area, that disaster area, to make room for those shelters, you know, in Florida, you know, in the areas that were hard hit.
Oh, we lost Sarah's connection here. We'll get her right back. In the meantime, Maine Society of the central part of the state, they're waiving all those fees through October 16th to make room for the animals that are continuing. And now with Milton being evacuated from, in this case, Florida, but Sarah mentioned the other states that are involved. So
now would be a good time to adopt a pet.
Right.
There'll be a lot of pets to pick from, and with them waiving adoption fees.
Yeah, if you were thinking about it, I guess, and maybe is there an interim? You know how sometimes you can take care of a pet for a period of time.
Like a foster home.
Yeah, exactly. Let's ask Sarah about that. Sarah, welcome back. Sorry we lost you there.
I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It happens all the time. Right. Back to our conversation. Paul and I were wondering, our anchorman, is there a, if people can't adopt a pet, so obviously if you've been thinking about it, this is a good time to do that to make room, correct?
Sure, yes, yes.
And if not, is there like a foster program where people can keep pets that would help for a while?
Sure. You know, I think that, back to what I was just trying to say really quickly and get that out of the way, you know, to be able to move those shelter animals out of that area and find them new homes so that those shelters that are in that disaster zone can focus on those animals that were separated from their families during the storm, those pet families that need extra support like free pet food or care or things like that. Those are the things that those shelters need to be focused on now. So that's why across the country, organizations like ours can step up to take those animals that were already in those shelters that were already adoptable and help them find homes and make that space for those local shelters. Across the Humane Society of Harrisburg area and all of the affiliate shelters out in eastern Pennsylvania and Delaware at Brandywine Valley, we're waiving adoption fees for our large adult dogs and adult cats to try to make space so that, as we work with our partners in the impacted areas to take out more animals, we have that room. And if you don't have room to adopt, I mean, now's a great time to adopt because shelters across the country are full and they need our help. And this is saving lives. And it really does help. If you have temporary space in your home, there are plenty of kittens and puppies that are brand new and need that space. There are senior animals that need that space out of the shelter. I'm sure that there are plenty of organizations near you where you live to be able to help out in that way, too. To your point, when disaster strikes, a lot of the shelters in those areas reach out to fosters. I mean, there was shelters in the Florida area that were, right in the path that did a big foster pool and got a lot of those animals out of their shelters into fosters during the storm. And so now, it's about figuring out where they go next.
Sarah, I was curious to know, this bringing these pets up from Florida shelters can't be inexpensive at all, right? Are you looking for some input from some donations as well?
Of course. I think that, we're waiving adoption fees. That is, a cost to our organization. And then also working with partners to be able to drive or fly animals out of the disaster zone. I mean, there's a large cost that comes in with moving those animals out and then caring for them and making sure that they can get into homes. You can make a donation to the Humane Society of Harrisburg area, Brandywine Valley SPCA, and I'll be a good steward and say to any of your local organizations that you feel comfortable supporting, we're sure that they're all helping in this way too.
Well, appreciate your time and effort, and thanks. You have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Smith with the Humane Society of Harrisburg.
You know, what she's saying is everybody can do something, right?
Yeah.
You can either foster a pet, you can adopt a pet, or you can send a donation, or you can do all three or whatever.
Yeah, that was a great point that you had. Is there an interim kind of thing for people that don't have the ability to, adopt a pet permanently but are willing to shelter one for a period of time?
Well, both of my dogs were rescue dogs. They went through an organization and then to foster families before they came to me.
Yeah, I have a rescue dog, and, she's been a great joy in our life. Although I think in the beginning we were fooled a little bit. They said that there was an older couple that got ill and they couldn't take care of the dog. And the dog was pretty young then. I think the dog was about a year or two. It was a golden retriever. And when the dog first came, it was like having a deer loose in the house. And I said, that couple didn't get sick. They just couldn't handle her.
Well, she did a good landing with you.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
She's a sweet old girl now. She's about 13. She gives you that look, like, I really am faking like I love you as long as you feed me. There you go.
There's one of my top five horror movies right there.
Yeah, my wife just texted me. Walking Dead used to be her ringtone. She's watched every spinoff, too, which is starting to make me wonder, maybe if I came through the family room with fake blood on and dragged a foot, I may be more attractive. What do you think, Aaron?
You're really on this kick this morning.
It's not my kick.
Yeah, I guess we're entering that season.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we're in it.
Well, I mean, like Variety Magazine just published a couple of days ago their list of the best horror movies of all time. I mean, it's that time of the year.
All right. What do they got listed?
Well, hang on a sec. I got to get to the bottom of the list. You know how they do this? They put 100 at the top, and then you got to work your way down.
True.
So, okay, here we go. Number five, Rosemary's Baby. Yeah, that's a good one.
That was with, what's her name?
Mia Farrow. Number four, Jaws. I would say yes to that. Number three is Psycho.
I don't consider Jaws
a horror movie.
No, but
oh, I sure do.
It's like
really?
A thriller.
What do you think? It's like a fishing movie or something?
Yeah.
What kind of a movie is it to you?
Well,
you're the movie maven in this group.
Action thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how do you spell Psycho?
P-S-Y-C-H-O. And that was with, of course, Alfred Hitchcock's direction. And who was it? Anthony Perkins.
Anthony Perkins. I didn't take a shower for years.
Yep.
My goodness.
One of the great scenes in black and white cinema, the drain in that bathtub.
Yeah, there were like 64 edits in 16 seconds or something. That was Hitchcock's way to create that, angst and anxiety.
Number two was The Exorcist.
Yeah, you just heard the theme song to that.
And I'm surprised at number one because I've never seen it and never want to. But I'm surprised. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, I
don't think that should be number one.
That's a love story.
Yeah, The Exorcist is scarier than that. A love story?
Oh, wow. Wheels are off the wagon.
What is the last horror film you saw?
You know, I was thinking that as we were going down this list, and I might need a second. Because horror movies, I can do thriller that just touches horror, but horror movies freak me out. I have to be honest.
Anything with a nun in it.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed.
I forget the name. There is a
movie called The Nun.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way.
Yeah. I had that experience in real life. When you're in
grade school.
Well, when you're first grade and you see the nuns back then wore those habits, the black full length dresses with the white cardboard,
we call it the full penguin.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we had a principal, Sister Gabriel, who came down the hallway and you couldn't see her feet move. She floated like she was an air hockey puck. and she just slid down the hallway, drifting a little to one side, terrifying that line. And then, because we're lined up on both sides for
no
the buses.
No one talking. Everyone's standing still.
No one talking. And she had a mustache that wasn't quite as prominent as Paul Skeen's.
You're really painting a picture.
Oh, you really are.
Yeah. You want to watch your turn on the news at 6. Big weekend in the Berg. A lot of festivals. You have the Columbus Day Parade in Little Italy. That's Bloomfield at 11. And starting today, the RV Liquidation Super Sale at the David Lawrence Convention Center. And back again is producer Randy Giancola. Randy, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I know. This is like your Super Bowl, right?
Nah, this is kind of like the divisional playoffs. I'd say our Super Bowl's in January.
Fair enough. But this is an opportunity for people that, and I know RVing's popularity has grown exponentially, but to take advantage of just what you say it is, a liquidation super sale. So walk us through what people can see this weekend.
Well, Larry, I'm walking on the show floor now. They'll see travel trailers, small ones, big ones, destination trailers, Class A motorhomes, Class C motorhomes, Class B motorhomes. There's fifth wheels, there's toy haulers. And I just walked by a sign. I almost fell over. I'm glad I didn't. There's not a lot of people here. RVs starting at $13,989 or payments as low as $143 a month. That's less than $5 a day. There's people that spend that much on coffee or more.
Oh, no question. And Paul and I, our anchorman, were just talking about the technological innovations that have also come along with RVs. It's not your old RVs like we remember growing up.
No, I'm looking at awnings on the sides that have no arms, and they got these little things that spin around. If the wind blows, it automatically brings the awning in. You don't have to bend over to put the stabilizer jacks down anymore. You push a button, auto leveling. Walking by one now that has a Greystone grill, a refrigerator, an ice maker, and a wash station outside. They got latches for your pets. They got Wi-Fi extenders. They got cell phone service extenders. And not to mention the beautiful pontoon boats that I'm walking by right now.
Oh, I didn't know you had pontoon boats as part of this deal, too.
Oh, yeah. One of our dealers, Boyer's RV out of Erie, they brought pontoon boats down. They brought deck boats down. They brought V boats down. They even have golf carts and electric bikes.
So I'd like to ask, do you sell at this event? Can someone who falls in love with something there and wants to be impulsive make a purchase right there?
Bring your checkbook, baby. these dealers are clearing out. This is a liquidation sale. The 25 models have been announced. They've brought in maybe a 23 brand new or a 24 brand new. They don't want to keep these things over the winter months. They want to get rid of them so they don't have to pay the floor plan interest and keep them clean. Profits be gone. They want to move these RVs. They want to liquidate them. They want to get them off their lots, and they want to make room for the new ones.
At very least, it sounds like a lot of fun just to walk and see all that you can see.
Yeah, we'll have a few campground vendors on your way in, and I mean, it's great. Now, I'll try and paint a picture for you. There's a brand new unit. I'm surprised it's here. It's right from Elkhart, Indiana. It's a Forest River Salem. It's called a veranda. This thing has a back porch on it where you could sit underneath a roof. You could be out in the open. It's got a Greystone griddle. I mean, can you just, and it's got a sink. Could you just imagine on the griddle, you got the chicken and peppers and onions, a couple margaritas. What a blast we could have.
Now I'm hungry.
And so it starts today, 4 o'clock, 4 to 9. 10 to 9 tomorrow, 10 to 5 on Sunday at the David Lawrence Convention Center. It is the RV Liquidation Super Sale, or as I like to say, the RV Liquidation Super Sale.
And Larry, can I interrupt you?
Please.
I'm so sorry. Talking to the dealers, this will be a little blast from the past. You know what they're doing this weekend?
What's that,
they're
Randy?
They're stacking them high, letting them fly, stacking them deep, and selling them cheap.
That's a beauty.
Perfect.
Randy Giancola, the producer of the show. Yeah, divisional playoff version of the RV. And then, of course, his Super Bowl is in January for 9 big days at the convention center. Well, good luck this weekend, Randy. Off a little controversy about the scariest films of all time.
Well, sure. I mean, some really good movies weren't in the top five, like The Silence of the Lambs, for example.
The Lambs silent, Clarice.
A census taker once tried to test me.
I ate his liver with a nice Chianti and some fava beans.
Aaron, did you ever see Silence of the Lambs?
I actually watched it recent, very, very recently. And you guys, that's a pretty good impression, both of you.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Over at, obviously it was filmed in Pittsburgh, in that house that's along the river there, the Mon, that I guess they turned into a bed and breakfast.
It was for sale not long ago.
Or Airbnb or something.
I don't know if I knew that. Wow.
Yeah, but the cage where they kept Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
That was the Soldiers and Sailors Hall, right?
Yeah, they have it on display now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, this weekend. I guess through the Halloween week.
Another one of my favorite lines. Ready when you are, Sergeant Pembrey.
Let me see if I can bring something.
So what's the controversy?
Here you go. The controversy is people were saying that that's a weak list.
Yeah.
And it doesn't include, like, The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock.
There's one for you.
You mentioned Psycho, so you got that one. Then Silence of the Lambs. How about this? They said...
That's from the first one. I think that's from Manhunter. And that was not the Hannibal we think of.
No, but when they made Silence of the Lambs, apparently Anthony Hopkins stayed in character off the set.
Oh,
that
wow.
That is so dangerous.
And there was a couple that got on an elevator with him.
Oh, gosh.
And there he's standing there. Can you imagine?
Method acting.
I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Yes, he is.
Let's see. I got so many texts. That's why I wanted to bring it back up, because people want to make sure that they're...
Let me explain. This is Variety. So this is an industry newspaper, and these were selected by critics,
Let me see what happens if
Which you're going to get a different list from people who like movies.
Hey, Siri, what are the top 10 scariest movies of all time?
I'm interested.
She just says, here, she don't want to talk to me. She just says, here's what I found.
No, she's been stoning you like this quite a bit lately.
Yeah, tell me about it. So they have the number one, we'll go backwards on this list.
Okay. Number 10.
At number 10, It. 2017, Fear of Clowns, very real thing. My youngest daughter was terrified of clowns. Then I realized why. Because there was a clown when she was born that came to the hospital, because I was on TV, and put one of those fake clown noses on before we could say anything, which then I realized must have been on 100 snotty kids before.
Yeah.
And she got RSV, and we spent the night at Children's Hospital.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you go.
So I was afraid of clowns, too, after that. Insidious is number 9. This is James Wan.
Oh, I remember this.
Patrick Wilson. Do you remember Insidious?
I remember reactions that people gave me after watching that, and it's up there.
2012, Sinister. For those who didn't read the scientific study, blah, 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 I guess I never saw this one. Halloween, of course, the original, is number 7. The Ring, where the woman keeps coming out of the TV.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Paul, you haven't seen that one?
No.
It's disturbing.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is 5. The Shining is 4.
There we go. All right, now that makes some sense.
Here's Johnny.
Just remember.
I went to that hotel, by the way, when I was in Colorado.
It's
visiting
beautiful.
My uncle. It's gorgeous. But it's like weird. You're like, wait, this is where this happened?
At the scene at the very beginning of the movie where they're driving up to it, that's actually shot on Going to the Sun Rose in Glacier National Park up in Montana.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
The Conjuring is 3rd.
Yes, I agree with that.
2013. Hereditary. I don't even know this film.
Neither do I. And it was on the Variety list as well.
And The Exorcist is 1. Hereditary, I don't know anything about it. But that's the list that Siri gave me when I asked her, what are the top 10 scariest films of all time? There you go.
What do you think, Paul? Some of those I agree with.
Well, a lot of them I haven't seen because I kind of stopped watching horror movies about 20 years ago. My thing is that, you know, whatever's in my mind when I go to bed usually winds up in a dream.
Yes.
You know, so if I'm up watching my movies late and then it's a horror movie, I wind up having a bad dream.
Well, just know that the most recent ones are very unhinged.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Well, because they have to keep outdoing themselves.
Exactly.
So it gets more bizarre.
Yeah, that's right.
There was one that was on last night that I flicked around and saw about the cabin. I think it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That was pretty scary. I've seen that. Yeah, what did you think?
It was like a doomsday kind of thing.
You know, for me, what's really frightening is something scary that you can't see, but you know it's there in the movie.
It's like our boss. Let's just leave it at that.
The password is lurking.
And McCullough takes it, near side, angles to the right, has a block over the 30, the 35, up the sideline, the 40, the midfield stripe. He gets another block to the 40, the 35, his foot is on the gas, and they're pursuing him to the 20, to the 10, and he steps out of that and goes and scores it on a punt return. McCullough goes all the way, 70 yards, and just when you think Peters Township couldn't come up with a big play of their own, there's McCullough with the rabbit out of the hat with 5:36 to go in the third quarter. We're an extra point away from tying this thing up.
Friday Night Lights, and our coverage continues starting at 6. And joining us, the voice, Dan Zangrilli on our V-Mix. So you can see Dan on the radio at kdkradio.com on our live stream. Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. How are you? It's good to be with you, by the way. It's like, you know, Johnny Carson. I mean, I had a couple of guest hosts here the last few Fridays. The only person I was missing was Joan Rivers.
Yeah, it was just coincidental. Meanwhile, we got a game tonight. We've got Franklin Regional at Peters Township, right?
Yeah, the Bowser Bowl coming up as the Franklin Regional Panthers. It's 6-1, 3-0. They're looking to take the next step, Larry, because, you know, this has been a really solid, strong football program that just hasn't been able to get over the hump. They haven't won a playoff game in the better part of 7 years here. 2018 was the last time they won a playoff game, and they've done a lot of good things so far. They have the second leading rusher in the WPIAL, but they're going to be tested tonight on the road at Penn Trafford. I love going to Harrison City because the Warriors, just a few years removed from a state championship, have as solid and strong a program and underrated a football program, I think, in the WPIAL. Their fan base is terrific. They have the fifth leading rusher in the WPIAL in Tasso Whipples. So a couple of studs in the backfield for each respective team with a lot on the line. It's a 5A Big East conference game, and it very well could determine the conference title or have significant conference title implications.
Yeah, we're down to that time of the season already in high school football. Won't be long where we'll be starting to talk about playoffs.
It's wild. I was just in a meeting with somebody talking about how fast the football season in general is going, and, you know, talking about Pitt, you know, 5-0. Wait, the fact that you're even 5 weeks into this thing is wild. And in this case, for the high school side, this is week 7. So after tonight, there's only 2 more regular season games.
Right.
Halloween's here before you know it. And that's going to be playoff week, the first round or the quarterfinal round of the playoffs. So we're down the stretch run. Tonight kicks it off, the last leg, the final third of that season. And this is where it really starts to get interesting, and there's so many good games around the WPIL tonight. A lot of folks feel that this is the best week for games. Our game is going to be terrific, but it's probably one of about a half dozen that has a similar or even greater implications.
Yeah, who are some of the other hot teams around the WPIAL?
There's a really good game also in 5A in the Allegheny 6 Conference, and it's a neighborhood rivalry between Upper St. Clair and Bethel Park. That's going to be huge. There's another massive game in single A between Fort Cherry and Bishop Canavan, just to name a handful of them. Mars and McKeesport, that will likely have conference title implications. There are so many that are underway. Think of Monte Christian, a great season they've had so far in the 3A field. They will take on Deer Lakes tonight. So you can go up and down the list. And this is the night, even just for the novice fan, if you want to figure out, throw a dart at the dartboard, hey, where are we going to go tonight on Friday? You're not going to go wrong.
And share with our morning audience what you guys have done this year in terms of the post game, because there's literally a post game party.
Yeah, we go to Dave and Buster's. In this case, the Steel Valley Ironman. They'll join us. Paul Alexander hosts the Parmar Stores WPIL Tonight program. It'll be live at Dave and Buster's. We alternate. There's one in the North Hills up the block at Northway. We were there last night, Thursday, for our radio show, and Bishop Canavan joined us there. We like to highlight a team, have them out, do a bit of a fundraiser for the football program. Well, after the game, Steel Valley, hopefully, they'll be victorious and they'll be in a good mood to come join us at the waterfront, have a nice fundraiser, talk to Paul about the big win, and we'll go through all the scores, talk about the big events that are just coming in and the scores rolling in and the big events around the WPIL on this particular night. But we've taken the show on the road, and if you're in the Dave and Buster's area, they're open till 1 a.m., so it's hard to find a place with a kitchen that's open late after you leave your Friday night game. So Dave and Buster's has turned out to be our post-game party headquarters.
Yeah, what a great idea you had to do that. It's a lot of fun. You and your color analyst, Johnny Lee, you got Donnie Football, and looking forward to tonight, Franklin Regional and Penn Trafford on KDKA. Dano, always do a great job. Have fun tonight, brother. Looks like Mother Nature's going to cooperate. It's not going to be quite as cold, just a nice clear night for Friday night football.
Love it. Doesn't get any better. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate the time.
All right, and we'll talk next to the man who could have replaced Dan Marino at Central, Marty Griffin, next.